you are listening to Consider This, episode 66, for February 18th, 2014. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whenever, wherever, and whoever you are. Dig out from the recent winter weather and fire up the audio player. It's time for another toasty warm episode of Consider This. I'm Doug Payton, throwing another log on the fire to keep you comfortable for the next 10 minutes or less as we sit around drinking hot chocolate and talking conservative politics. Well, I will, at least. If you want to join the conversation, I'm all ears. Call 267-CALL-CT0 or come to considerthis.ctpodcasting.com to send me your thoughts and feedback. I could put it on this show. In fact, I'm likely to do that. Actually, you'd have to give me a darn good reason not to, but it is possible. That's CT as in cleared throughway. Requiring vagueness when describing criminal suspects, Obamacare encouraging non-work, and how the media covers governmental abuse of power. That's coming up. I've noticed that more of you are listening to the podcast with some sort of app rather than on the website. That's great because you get each episode sent to you automagically. For that 18.9% listening via the webpage, there's nothing wrong with that. But if you don't want to have to remember to visit the website every so often, consider subscribing to Consider This in iTunes, the Stitcher Radio app, or another of the many podcast apps for iOS or Android. Hey, just looking out for you. Some students at the University of Minnesota do not like the fact that, when descriptions of the suspects of crime on campus are made public, the race of the student is included. This is how they described the issue. Quote, "We unanimously agree that campus safety should be of the UMPD's utmost importance. However, efforts to reduce crime should never be at the expense of our black men or any specific group of people likely to be targeted. In addition to causing black men to feel unsafe and distrusted, racial profiling is proven to inflict negative psychological effects on its victims." Close quote. So they don't want the identities of the people being sought in a crime to be as descriptive as possible. I guess if the perp was described as white, then it wouldn't cause racial profiling? Well, since men commit a disproportionate number of crimes, should we refrain from mentioning gender, since that might lead to gender profiling? Soon we might hear this on the radio.
"A window was broken in the science building last night. Police are looking for someone."
But the irony I see here is this. This letter requests an end to racial identification in descriptions, yet was sent by members of the African American and African Studies, Black Faculty and Staff Association, Black Graduate and Professional Student Association, Black Men's Forum, Black Student Union, and Huntley House for African American Males. Yes, they would be the ones to be concerned, but does anyone notice the irony of those groups' names versus the issue of identifying people by their race? I know, I get it, it's negative connotations versus voluntary association, but if you want to be identified by your race, you might have to take the bad with the good. If the government paid everyone a, quote, living wage, close quote, with health benefits, what would that mean for us? Well, it would do a few things. Individuals would be empowered to make choices about their own lives and livelihoods, like retiring rather than working into their elderly years or choosing to spend more time with their families. They would no longer be trapped in a job just to provide for their families and would have the opportunity to pursue their dreams. But also, there would be no garbage men or grocery clerks or any of hundreds of people performing necessary jobs that we need in our daily lives. Why should they work? The government is providing for them. The economy would collapse. Yet those very ideas, expressed in those words, are how presidential spokesman Jay Carney described the quote-unquote empowering news that over the next 10 years, millions will leave the workforce because of Obamacare. Hey, they got their benefits. Why do they need to work? Now, of course, not as many will leave as if we were paying their salaries as well, so let's just collapse the economy a little. The percentage of Americans no longer looking for work is the highest it's been in almost 40 years. Do we really want to be pushing people out the door? Do we really want to tear out the incentive to work from society? Now, I don't want people stuck in a job just for the benefits. Or do I? Do you? You've seen those people on the side of the road with signs that say, "Will work for food"? That's an honorable goal. Or should we just replace all those signs with "won't work for Obamacare"? I wonder where the food will come from now. I guess my bottom line is this. For the country as a whole, as opposed to individual hard luck cases, which of those two goals is better? When the government is caught in a gross abuse of power, the nation's media have been all over the story. Coverage of the Watergate affair lasted years, and the results of the hearings were reported on an almost daily basis. Do you remember Iran-Contra? The news coverage was constant, with the question of whether or not a president circumvented legislation and armed rebels in an attempt to take down a hostile government. This, too, if the allegations were true, would represent an abuse of power, a government doing what the people, through their representatives, had specifically said it shouldn't do. The evening news in 1986 and 87 made sure you knew the facts and the names of those involved. And now there's an event that has occurred that represents another gross abuse of power by an administration, but the press, after having covered the initial stages of hearings, have gone silent. The use of the IRS to go after conservative groups got some initial attention, but it's gotten to the point that when it's brought up in an interview with the president, he just laughs it off and says there wasn't any corruption at all, not a smidgen. He can, because most of the media is ignoring new developments, and the left has taken up calling it a phony scandal. Phony. Right. Because Lois Lerner would only take the Fifth Amendment for business as usual. Yeah, it doesn't mean she's guilty of anything, only that she thinks that what she knows or what she did is worth pleading the Fifth. Phony scandal indeed. George Will noted some disparity in the news coverage.
Well, I remember the president at first saying that the trajectory of this scandal began, this was outrageous. And Lois Lerner, who was at the center of it, the IRS official, terminated her public career and refused to testify because something was bothering her and him. Now we've reached a point where it's just boneheaded decisions, which, amazingly, seem to affect primarily the president's critics. Now, we also have a Democratic senator, a leading Democratic senator, Chuck Schumer, saying we want the IRS to go back at it. I don't know, back at what? Making boneheaded decisions? I don't know what he's supposed to do. Brett, we've had three major scandals in the last 40 years. Scandals are a dime a dozen in this town, sexual, financial, and all the rest. Three big ones involving the distortion and abuse of institutions. Watergate, Iran-Contra, and the IRS. The first two were ravenously covered by the media. They were Republican presidents' problems. This is not being pursued, and the president knows that, hence his sense of weariness and boredom as he discussed this with Bill O'Reilly.
If Obama was a Republican, we'd have wall-to-wall coverage of the IRS, Benghazi, and the tapping of journalists' phones. He's not. We didn't. What a difference an administration makes. So what do you think? Is an accurate description of a criminal suspect worth the risk? Do you see what I'm saying about other features of a person that could also be considered disproportionately applied? Yet they are useful, especially when trying to prevent crime. I don't think the opposite of racism is colorblindness. I think the opposite is love and embracing of the diversity. But diversity implies differences, and you can't love the differences if you don't even acknowledge them. And is it time to put the full-time job on the endangered species list? People respond to incentives, including disincentives to work. And what about the IRS scandal? I mean, really, what about it? What's happening? And why won't the media give it the same attention as similar scandals involving Republicans? Or do you think this is all just drummed-up concern? Let me know your thoughts. Call 267-CALL-CT0, 267-225-5280. Or write me at considerthis@ctpodcasting.com. Stop by the website at considerthis.ctpodcasting.com to get the show notes, links to the articles I referred to, and a place to discuss the topics in the comments section. Let us know what you think so that we can all consider this.